Another thing is you'll come across few examples on which can be management myths. What is a management myth? It's based on the, when you have the team, you have managers, and you have and the team of managers are nothing but a management system. So it can be a senior managers or top management, everything included all together. So we already have a book of standards and procedures to building a software. It provides my people with everything the programmers need to know. So if books and documents were sufficient to imbibe knowledge and skills, projects would never fail. Let alone practitioner even design the analyst, project leader or project managers hardly read any books or standards and apply them. Tools introduced for projects are rarely properly understood and remain ineffective. So this is a real example, is that when you read a book, when you go through an education system, you get a fair amount of knowledge and your mind captures the information, and that is ready to work when you work on a practical ground. So that practical situation in the environment, it helps you to really redesign and take a right amount of an outcome to the business requirement. So one cannot ensure, or one cannot follow the word and word of the books into the practical life. Practical life is always where it's called as an experience, that how do you function, how do you fail yourself and recorrect. And when you fail, recorrect and get to the output, you get an experience. So it may be a success or it may be failure. So that experience is going to make you more strong, robust in terms of becoming more confident. So when you're confident, you not only write a code, you direct it and you make sure that it meets the business requirement. So if a project is behind schedule, one can always add more programmers to it and catch up. Okay. Another myth can be software development is not a civil engineering project where adding a labor might get a bridge completed earlier than scheduled. According to the Fred books, adding people to the late software project makes it later. This is another myth. So when new people are added, people who were working must spend time educating the newcomer, thereby reducing the amount of spent on the productive development. So delays and failures are not necessarily due to shortage of labor. So this is very important, you should understand. Another customer myth. Let's understand something, how the customer myths are going to come across during your software engineering skills. A general statement of objectives is sufficient to begin writing a program. Details can be added later. So this is one of the major cause of software project failures and delays. In today's environment, hardware and memory sizes are large and associated costs are relatively cheaper. So ask any programmer the number of times he recompiles a program and the reason for recompiling the program. The underlying reason would be that program writing had become much before, and a detailed description of the domain function or a validation criteria were understood or available. Changes keep occurring as the programming progresses with neither customer nor the providers realizing the importance of reasonably detailed requirement and its document. So this is what you had seen about the customer myths, the different areas, that what happens when you add a team and when you when you make a program changes. So more important is an existing team of people, if they are rightly focused, yes, a short delay will appear, but they will be able to speed up faster. But when you keep on adding the number of people, that's because of the management pressures, and then can be another myth. One program manager has to retrain the new set of engineers to come to that speed, and when they come to that speed of the existing engineers, then the process flow will start. So again, it depends upon environment to environment. Every environment is different. Apart from environment, the number of people who are added with what skills, and not beyond the skill, what is their willingness to write a project. So this is one of the challenges a program manager may face. Let's understand more about the customer base. A project requirement continuously change, but this change can easily be accommodated because software is flexible. Yes, it is flexible. You write a code, you change a code, and you can definitely mix the code in terms of giving a different kind of an output. That's a flexibility which you cannot get in the hardware. Hardwares are fixed. They can only get interconnected with a piece of a cable, but it may not give a desired output as good as the software can give. So it is a fact that software requirement change, but the impact of change varies with the time at which it is introduced. Change requests that occur towards testing and development are the hardest to implement, especially the ones that impact the core design architecture, database, and most common reusable components of any application. The cost impact is higher down the life cycle of any project. So what are another practitioner mistakes? Let's start coding ASAP, because once we write a program and get to the work, our job is done. Another myth can be, until I get a program running, I have no way of accessing its quality. Another myth can be, software engineering involves a load of a paper only to slow us down. So these are the myths. I would only say that when you're becoming as a practitioner, don't run after what are happening. What is that myth? Don't get your mind engaged. Keep on focusing on the requirement and solving the problem. You will get a solution. When your intent is clear that you want to have, you know the problem and you want to find out a solution, you will get a solution. Okay. Don't get ever carried away with the myths. Myths will be something called the blockage in terms of slowing your writing the code. It will delay in writing the code and it may require more quality check. I hope you must have understood all this, most of the myths and mistakes, but yes, there are another common beliefs. Obviously, faults of any fresh programmer. So playing the piano is not just tapping the keys, but one must know the music and the appropriate each sound that emanates from the piano. Now, this is one of the very good and easy example to understand that a piano is a keyboard on the PC may be a great tool to type, but unless a programmer hears the music, so the quality of his work will be in a short supply. So again, these are the different kind of beliefs, myths, which gives rise to your myths and then mistakes. So there are also strong beliefs that software engineering is all about writing loads of documentation, while many believe software engineering is about writing and running code. So you must have seen, writing a code is another belief. Writing, preparing a documentation is a belief. It's a myth, okay? But it is a neither one. Software engineering is about understanding business problem, inventing solution, evaluating alternatives, and making design trade-offs and choice. This is a real software engineering. One must document the process to know which alternative were considered and why particular choices are made. In addition to writing a documentation, software engineering is about delivering value to the customer, both code and documentation being very valuable. So this is another reason for the software engineering method is exist, that a documentation always helps. Whenever you want to, you become a program manager, you want to add a team, you make the team parallelly to run from the documentation. When he or she runs from the documentation, he easily comes to the level of what you guys are doing. So software failures and its impact. So this is one of the table which you can go through it, which is going to really provide you a good insight about software failures. And when you say failures, different kinds of failures come, like people, lack of stakeholders, they buy in. So that's where a top management comes, or you can say a management interference, lack of user inputs, undermine motivation, politics. These are the commons. So do not worry about the undermined motivations. If you focus about their other inputs, if you focus about the myths and the mistakes happening, if you learn from the other people's more, this is where the factor happens. Either you get motivated or you get demotivated. But if you learn that your motivation, that motivation is going to really help you in terms of getting the new answer, the new role, a new solution. But the moment you get demotivated, you are not going to find a solution. Even if it is a simple one, your mind may not work. So try to be more focused, more positive, and more motivated. You should be amongst to the team where you get a high level of energy, high level of motivation. And that's where a great team skills are going to run. So another reason, like lack of effective project sponsorship. Well, it is going to impact, because when you're working for the company, company is paying the salaries, and many a times such companies, they get a challenge about this requirement of the sponsorship. So don't ever get redirected that the sponsorship, whether it exists or doesn't exist, it is the work of the management. It is the work of the main managers or the management to ensure that your salaries are done and your project doesn't get impact. Unrealistic expectation. You will come across many situations that you may get suddenly different customer demands and unrealistic expectations. So such unrealistic expectation may come across. Project manager is the right person in order to evaluate whether such expectations can be considered or cannot be considered. Because based on his experience, he has the judgment to do whether such kind of an expectation is a 1 hour job or does it take 10 hours. So it's cost analysis or indications, it is his duty whether it should be considered or not. Friction between the developer versus customers or testers. Obviously a friction comes because there are two terms. The customer has a different expectation, high expectations. And number two is that what you accept. So if you accept, you are not going to get demoralized. But if you expect more or you try to contradict, the situation of friction is going to come. Friction always often, if you do not consider, the friction starts working. If you try to say you are always right, the friction happens. Now my best advice would be, try to minimize your frictions. Just focus, remove your egos, remove your previous successful results. You should stand in the shoes of the person who is demanding. When he demands, he has some expectation, but you have to put it across to the manager that these demands, are it validated and accepted? If it is accepted, you go ahead and do it. But sometimes demands are very high, which is correlates to the cost. And that's why the company needs sponsorship. So if this is in a balance, I think you can very well be, as a human being, you can always reduce the friction. And when you reduce the friction, your productivity will go high. The moment you have demotivation, some kind of a focusing on unrealistic, why this is happening, who is there, why it is, please remove all these things. If you want to have good productivity and good flow at a less amount of time, be open, be positive. The moment you reduce the friction, you are going to do fast results. Weak personal heroics.
Yes.
This is, by culture is coming up. I think one has to definitely ensure that if you focus on the outcome, productivity, and what you want to do it at the end of the day, definitely such things will get nullified, reduced. Adding people to the project. This is another thing, is, as I told, as an engineering skill, documentation always helps you in terms of giving. One more benefit is getting the new people ready in parallel, understanding the project. And once you understand the project, then he starts mapping his mind in terms of making sure that whether the code is in a proper flow, or he or she learns over a period of time that how the code and the engineering are taken ahead. So that's a very simple example about the people. Coming to the process. So when you say process, insufficient planning or ineffective planning, definitely. A planning always creates a beautiful role in terms of getting the sequence of events properly organized without any further delays, and ensuring that the execution is meeting to the framework of time. Now when you say why this a planning is more important, a software product, when you write a code, it is decided, you're writing, it is decided to the customer. So when it decided the customer demands, and he wants that this has to happen in a certain set of rules and set of timelines. So let's say it's a 30 day timeline. So this 30 day timeline, how you are going to use this 30 days in terms of making sure the product is ready. Writing software code is nothing but you are basically manufacturing a new product for the customer. It's a new product. So when you know, when you plan, you have sequence of events, and that sequence of events helps you to re-devise the action for that particular day. When you take that action, you start with one activity and end to the day. When you are ready for that desired outcome at the end of the day, that is going to redirect to start the next day. But if your end of the day is not completed, or the things are not completed, if your planning is weak, you're going to take 2 days. So what happens, a one day activity gets completed into 2 days. It may take 3 days, but if you've got a planned activity, you ensure that this is done. And that is where it is going to redirect you in terms of starting the next activity. So this is something called, if you come across in advanced, this is something called as a COBIT function, a COBIT, like an ISO 9000, there is a COBIT certifications. So in a COBIT is nothing but control objectives in information technology. So these are some of the control objectives. You need an effective and planning. You should be a good planner. How you can be a good planner? You will come to know as you learn more software engineering skills. Overly optimistic schedule. Never apply any optimistic schedule. Don't overly the optimistic. Don't unnecessarily be too much optimistic. Come to the realistic situations and you will definitely have a good planning. Insufficient risk management. Risk, this is another very important thing. What is a risk? Risk is nothing but it is going to avoid any kind of collapse of or crashes either in the software or in kind of development. So risk is nothing but it is kind of a right decision in terms of ensuring that you are going to reach to the right goal. Inadequate design, this is another plays a good role. That when you do a planning, you have the design, and when your design is not perfect or not adequate, it is going to definitely help you to delay the project. Poor quality assurance. This is also important. When I say an example of a 30-day schedule, it should include your quality assurance. That product is finished ahead in time, which guides the quality person to do a proper quality assurance. Make sure that there are no errors and the software functions properly to the end. Insufficient management controls. Correct? Management also has some kind of a controls. Controls, if they are insufficient, and as a human being, if they come around with some kind of a friction, some kind of a unrealistic expectation, some kind of a showing the heroics. So this is nothing but it is going to really affect and impact the production life cycle of the software. So one needs to have the not only the quality assurance but a management controls. Poor estimation, it may also impact. Code like help programming. So these are all the things which one can take it in a process when you're writing a code. Product requirements, gold plating. So this product has got a requirement. It has one needs a gold plating. I mean, like, it has to be so crystal clear, shining, and should look good. Feature creep. Developer's gold plating. Push pull negotiation. Research oriented development. So these are the product features. So you can have the different kind of failures happening in the product because of the reason. Technology again, silver bullet syndrome. Overestimated savings from new tools or method. Switching tools in the middle of the project. Lack of automated configuration management. So these are a list which gives an indication that what are the reasons of the software failures and what are these impacts on process, people, technology, and as well as the product. So this is a table which is going to show as one set of things. This may change from product to product, from environment to environment, based on the business demands. I hope this is much more clear. So coming here, knowing more about software failures and its impact, there are still many reports of software projects going wrong and software failures. So software engineering is criticized as inadequate for modern software development. However, in my view, many of these so-called software failures are a consequence of two factors. One, increasing demands. As new software engineering techniques help us to build a larger, more complex system, the demands change. Systems have to be built and delivered more than quickly, larger. Even more complex systems are required. Systems have to have new capabilities that were previously thought to be impossible. So existing software engineering methods cannot cope, and new software engineering techniques have to be developed to meet new of these new demands. Another can be low expectations. It is relatively easy to write computer programs without using software engineering methods and techniques. Many companies have drifted into software development as their products and services have evolved. They do not use software engineering methods in their everyday work. Consequently, their software is more often expensive and less reliable than it should be. So we need better software engineering education and training to address this problem. So it really creates a practically, it really creates an impact in terms of defining the cost of the software when it is ready. And that's where the engineering methods are going to really help in terms of not only reducing the cost, but increasing the effective outcome of the software, and as well as getting it more flexible in terms of meeting the business demands, and also giving a good return of investment. So that's where your software engineering methods are really helpful. Yes, as an amateur or as a, in case if you enter into the startup industry, you may write a piece of code, you can make it executable, and it may run perfectly over a period of time. But yeah, as you see the current developments, writing about an app based, an Android based app, it will definitely help you in terms of go ahead. But see, every time the software engineering skills or the methods which are described here in this book may not help, but it can become some kind of a good foundation for your thought process. A foundation means this particular foundation is going to help you create or become more creative in terms of rewriting or recreating your software engineering methods. And these methods can become tune up more effectively in terms of meeting the business demand. I'll give one more example here is that before this Android platform came into existence, what was more common was a Microsoft platform, which is Microsoft Windows. And another was the Linux platform. And then and third one was the Mac systems. So there were, it was having the limitations, it was increasing the hardware cost. But the day the Android system came into picture, what has happened? The total software system got effectively turned, which is nothing but instead of moving the feet or moving your feet in the field, you're basically moving your fingers onto the mobile. The mobile has become more effectively. And that is where it is giving flexibility such a way to get more effective results. One, if you see 10 years back, the data was not so much coming across to the human being. Now the data is coming at the fingertips. That helps you to do faster decision. And that faster decisions is helping me to go to the new evolution using technology, and where new emerging technologies are coming into place, which is machine learning, IoT systems, artificial intelligence, and much more. That's where we are talking about a space technology. So your software can build a bridge, a good bridge, from moving from ground to the space. So let's talk more about what are the other failures and its impact. It is relatively easy to write a computer program without using a software engineering method and techniques. So many companies have drifted into software development as their products and services have evolved. They do not use software engineering methods in their everyday work. Consequently, the software is more often expensive and less reliable than it should be. We need better software engineering education and training to address such problems. Like other engineering disciplines, software engineering is carried out within a social and legal framework that limits the freedom of people working in that area. So as a software engineer, you must accept that your job involves wider responsibilities than simply the application of technical skills. You must also behave in an ethical and moral responsible way if you are to be respected as a professional engineer. It really plays a very good role when you think about your behavior pattern, following the ethics, moral responsibilities. And it gives a mileage in terms of becoming a good professional engineer. So it goes without saying that you should uphold normal standards of honesty and integrity. You should not use your skills and abilities to behave in a dishonest way or in the way that will bring a disrepute to the software engineering profession. So, however, there are areas where standards of acceptable behavior are not bound by laws but by the more tenuous notion of a professional responsibility. Some of these are confidentiality, competence. So what is that confidentiality? In a confidentiality, you should normally respect the confidentiality of your employers or client, irrespective of whether or not a formal confidential agreement has been signed. So why this is important? I know you are an honest person. I know you are not going to make misuse of the information. But let me tell you one of the examples is that your mind is clear, you are positive, and your intent is very clear that you are writing code. But in terms of a motivational factor or encouragement point of view, you try, by means of culture, you try out to express, and you end up in speaking out the things which you should not speak. So what happens when you speak out, this is part of the encouragement that you try to show your skills or express yourself to the other side that you have done such kind of a good success to the company. But when you speak these things to the other end, you are forgetting the other end person, what is his integrity, what is his honesty with the information what you have. You don't know. So what happens? He may be a good person or he may be some kind of different person. So he may further pass on this information to the other end. And let us say out of 10 people, one person who is waiting for such information, he takes that information because he is free. He doesn't has any kind of a other work to do. He uses that information to other side. And that's where the confidentiality gets broken, misused by the person. And he or she may take a different kind of a business benefit. And that business benefit can remove the secrets of the confidentiality. And that is where a new product can come. And that is where you can see a competition will build up. So confidentiality is more important to avoid the competence. In our business industry, people are very fast enough in order to copy the things. They copy, they try to produce, and they try to recreate new products. Why? The only reason is that they want to survive. And when they want to survive, they don't see what is happening to the others. But the person who is spending the time, who is using his idea, converting his idea into the business, if his secret confidentiality lands into the competence, his value reduces. So the point of survival, he would like to enjoy the benefits. So he would like to maintain the confidentiality. So you need to be honest. You need to maintain the integrity, making sure that when you're getting the salary, you're working for someone else, maintain the confidentiality and ensure that the competition reduces. So as a competition, you should not misrepresent your level of competence. So competition is different and competence is different here. So when you say competence, you need not to misrepresent your level of competence. You should not knowingly accept work that is outside your competence. This is very important. You should not be a follower. Try to be a leader, a doer. Even if you're a doer, it's good. But in a doer, try to maintain your leadership quality. You accept the work which is within your competence. So you can maintain the secret things. You can maintain the confidentiality. You can maintain your honesty. And that honesty is nothing but it's going to encourage you. The place where you work, that company is going to really definitely reward you for such kind of a qualities. So let's see what are the other ethics we need to follow in software engineering things. Intellectual property rights. That's called IP rights. You should be aware of local laws governing the use of intellectual property such as patents, copyright. You should be careful to ensure that intellectual property of employers and clients is protected. Very, very important things. Please, it's not going to help you. Let me tell you, from my 32 years of experience, the IP rights are not your property. It's somebody's property. Do not ever cross outside that framework and try to delegate others. I know this IP right, I know that. You are not going to gain anything else. Listen to me very well. You are not going to gain anything else. IP property is somebody else's property. And when you have the IP rights, keep it within you, protected. That's where a place of confidentiality plays an important role. So computer misuse, you should not use your technical skills to misuse other people's computers. Computer misuse ranges from relatively trivial, which is a game playing on the employer's machine, say, to an extremely serious dissemination of the when you say extreme serious, dissemination of virus or any malware. So misuse is very important. Very simple examples are, I would say, when you talk about misuse, you try to copy the data with your personal drive and try to take it to the other location. So in this misuse, what happens is that other computers, they have some other piece of software which is not protected, and it is nothing but malicious softwares. So these softwares, they are residing into the system, and whenever they see the new data coming, they go and infect them. Means what happens is that their actual functions gets reduced, and when it gets reduced, one of the reason of one getting dissemination of virus means it is again a virus is a piece of the code which is going to copy that content and transmit to the 100 locations. How does it transmit? It is already having some kind of a 100 different email addresses, 100 different computer networks. It keeps on copying and keeping. So when it keeps on copying and transmitting the data, your data gets unnecessarily misused. That misuse means very important. That's where we can call it as a, every data has its own, not only property, but importance. It has got its own confidence. It has got its major importance within that, where the cost is decided. So computer misuse, please try to ensure that it is been taken care of properly. Another part of software engineering, ethics point of view, in any situation where different people have different views and objectives, you're likely to be faced with an ethical dilemmas. For example, if you disagree in principle with the policies of more senior management in the company, how should you react? Clearly, it depends on the particular individuals and the nature of the disagreement. So, this kind of an ethics is going to vary from environment to environment, office to office, place to place, and between team, one team to another team. So you will definitely learn when you come across such practical situations. Going ahead with more examples about ethics point of view, it is best to argue a case for your position from within the organization or to resign in principle. So if you feel that there are problems with the software project, when do you reveal these to the management? If you discuss these while they are just a suspicion, you may be overreacting to the situation. If you leave it too late, it may be impossible to resolve the difficulties. So such ethical dilemmas face all of us in our professional lives, and fortunately in most cases they are either relatively minor or can be resolved without too much difficulty. So ethically, I would say definitely try to focus on the project what you are doing it, try to focus on the activity you are doing it, try to focus on the action plans, and always do a communication or I mean to say an interaction with your managers or with your team for the problems what you face. Do not ever argue if someone is writing a code and he is trying to discuss, and don't argue that whether he is right or wrong. You have to help him that if he does the problem solving in a different way, if he writes a code in a different way, help him that he solves the problem. So be cooperative in such a way that, or you give the ideas, okay, or you give me the tricks which is going to help your team to solve. You know why? A very simple thing is when you help others, they solve the problems, they are encouraged, they are inspired for your inputs, and someday you can also come to the same situation, they will surely help you. So that way, and helping hand is going to help you to grow a team, and grow a team positively the way it is going to help you to bring results faster. And when you bring results faster, you yourself are the inspiration to the other team. So I'm just speaking on the positive side of ethics. The other side of ethics, I would say, please ignore, go, leave it, go to the next level. So when they cannot be resolved, so let's come to the point of another ethical point. When they cannot get resolved, the engineer is faced with perhaps another problem. The principal action may be to resign from the job, but this may well affect others as such their partner or other children or their children. Okay, so there are a lot of examples that when you speak about a problem or trying to come to an exit route and trying to say no, I don't like it, it's not meeting me, I would like to resign from the job, I would say, just pause. Slow down your mind. Maybe decide on the next day before you think about resignation. Because when you think about such steps, a lot of things are involved. You will see a team who's doing politics. You will see a team, for the benefit of them, they end up in doing politics, creating a friction. This is part of the situation within the culture, within the environment. So be positive and tackle to the problems. So particularly a difficult situation for a professional engineer arises when their employer acts in an unethical way. This is another new thing you will find it out. Say a company is responsible for developing a safety critical system, and because of the time pressure, falsifies the safety validation records. And this is the engineer's responsibility to maintain the confidentiality or alert the customer or publicize in some way that the delivered system may be unsafe. Now this is basically a very tough job in trying to face such situation and defining that your company is trying to be little following an unethical tactics which may impact the customer. So this is another engineering system, that how do you tackle such situation and ensure that the company gets corrective action or the customer is not suffering. But here the damage comes to you. So when the damage comes to you means what? It may be a situation come that you may have to find a new job. Okay. Or maybe your customer can hire you. So think about long-term career. How these ethical situations can guide you in terms of setting up your career so that you are inspired, you are benefited, and not only you are benefited, the company is benefited and the customer is benefited. And that's where your growth of the career in terms of software engineering is going to move ahead. So let me summarize. The software engineering as a subject appears to be a simple. However, it has got many internal complexities. So one side complexity is writing a code and coming out of that. Another complexity is the handling the environment which is surrounding within the company, the team, their politics, their heroic activities, their negative intents. So in a basic things, I would say every coin has a two sides, positive, negative. What you face and what you focus, that's more important. So technically for any hardware to work, there has to be a software created, which is the benchmark now. The creation of the software, better if it is done by methodical approach. While software makes life easy in many fields, software engineering involves many ethical aspects which must be taken into consideration and adhered to all the time. We witness many softwares fail maybe during initial stages and sometimes also towards the finalization stage. So there are several reasons behind that. However, curated software engineering methodology helps arresting such issues and minimizes occurrences of such software failures. Thank you very much. I hope you will definitely learn much more thing, and then we can discuss more about in next chapter.